Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Trent Sommer is a graduate of Middle Tennessee State University and had his first major label release in 1994. He spent two decades in Nashville writing songs, including co-writes on hits like Gary Allen's Guys Like Me, Pat Green's Somewhere Between Texas and Mexico, and his biggest hit to date is Jack Ingram's version of Love You. Trent has since relocated to Santa Barbara, California, where he enjoys writing and singing his own songs just as much. He joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about that journey and his latest song, Honky Tonk Baby.
Hi, Trent. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And thanks for taking the time out of your sunny West Coast afternoon to speak with us. I guess it's, is it afternoon yet for you?
It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, so it is. Cool.
Just getting rolling here.
Yeah, so I guess that I gave it away. You are in California, correct?
I am. I'm an eighth generation Tennessean that moved to California 3 years ago, which is the opposite of the way most people were moving
right
in the country.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Why California from Tennessee?
Well, I'd been coming to this area in Santa Barbara County, Los Alamos, Los Olivos area for about 20 years. My wife's mother is a school teacher, retired from a little private high school up there, and It's beautiful. It looks like the south of France up there, and then wow. Never dreamed we could live in Santa Barbara, but developers came into Nashville much like they came into Austin, Texas, and a lot of other places, and bought everything that wasn't tied down, including a couple of houses we'd bought on Music Row, and
wow.
We decided to uproot, sold everything we owned except for some art and antiques, bought a Volvo station wagon, left Nashville July 7th of 2017 with a 20-year-old cat and a 13-year-old dog.
Wow.
Moved west to land at the mother-in-law's house, but we went through North Carolina and then Maine and then Canada, back down through Michigan. You get the story. We stayed across the top of the U.S. because didn't want to go through the desert in the summer. Anyway, landed out here in a little surf town called Carpinteria. It's like Mayberry RFD.
Wow.
If it was on the ocean.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's a planned move. We took about a year. You know, like I said, I'm an eighth generation Tennessean. They tell me we own a farm. My family does outside of Cannon County. Woodbury is the county seat. But, it was like pulling trees coming out here. But I wrote a bunch of songs when I first landed. We got a little cabin, like I said, Rincon Beach. It's mentioned in a surfboard, a Beach Boys song. I forget the one, but it's about surfing.
Uh-huh.
But
not the Beach Boys.
And, yeah, right. Collected those songs and then was talking to a friend of mine that had been in the music business in Nashville, Dave DeRocher. He ran Bug Music Nashville, wonderful publishing company, independent, last the independents. And we were dear friends. We were such good friends that everyone thought I worked for Dave and I just hung out over there all the time. But that was, you know, I feel like I got to, you know, the other part of this is I was a, you know, Nashville songwriter for 20 years,
yeah.
You know, paid staff songwriter on and off here and there. But so we're out here now. Got a new EP. It's called I Might Get Used to California. I wrote it about my trip out here. And my wife heard me play it for the first time. She's like, that's the best song you've ever written. I was
wow.
like, thanks. And
wow.
a couple other people said that. And that's the first single. There's a little video on YouTube. I started my own record label. It's called Farm Rock Records. And, this is the first record on it, and we've had what I'd call a soft opening if uh-huh. it were a restaurant, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we're just navigating the new music business. It's changed since I was putting out records.
Oh my gosh!
And
yeah.
Streaming's changed so much. It's a singles business kind of. So we were putting a EP. We're calling it a mini album. And
it's kind of funny how it's come full circle, because in the early days it was let's put out a couple singles and see if you can find some fans and then we'll cut a record, and then you know the whole music industry blew up, and now we're kind of back to that back to that approach again. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and what I'm trying to do, my main goal for my career is out here now, you know, is just play in my backyard. There's tons of work out here.
Yeah.
And wineries, beer joints, you know. You're 3 hours away from Vegas, you know, a bunch of different places. You can actually go over there and make some money.
Right, right.
But, you know, you got the desert, Papiette and Harriet's. L.A., of course, is we're about 60 miles from L.A., but it takes you about an hour and a half usually.
Yeah.
But I don't go there much these days. I got two young sons, believe it or not.
Wow.
A two-and-a-half-year-old named Bobby, and his little brother's James Henry. And I'm kind of their main caretaker during the day and stay-at-home dad.
They're California natives.
Well, actually, he's a fourth-generation Californian. His great-grandmother's born in L.A.
Okay.
And his grandmother. And so, which is kind of interesting, you know. Santa Barbara's a cool place. It's country out here. I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody told me there's more quarter horses per capita here than any county in the nation.
Wow, that's cool.
Because it's such a small population.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 100,000 people here, but there's some good big city amenities. There's the Santa Barbara Bulls down the street, like 3 miles away. It's built by, I think it was a WPA project built the same time the Hollywood Bowl was built. It's a little smaller. But yeah, the cheap seats have an ocean view.
So did you grow up with music, around music? Is it a family thing? Tennessee obviously is the birthplace of a lot of that. But...
Yeah. Uncle Dave Macon is buried in my family's cemetery, Coleman Cemetery in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's on the Woodbury Highway if you go by there. And, you know, he was the first rock star of the Opry. And but I wasn't related to him. We went to church in the same neighborhood as them, but my parents did and grandparents. But third grade music teacher would put me on stage for a hee-haw show and got my blood, and I stuck around. Anytime anybody had a PA with a mic on, I was there. And started going to Middle Tennessee State University, which has incredible music business programs. It's changed so much since I went there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we worked on analog in the middle of the night when you could get in the studio. You can't even hardly get in, you know, the studios and the classes anymore. But anyway, learned how to record early, you know, 1918, and just wouldn't stop. Ended up having some country hits along the way, and haven't put a studio record out in probably, you know, 7 or 8 years. So we've got it on XM, Outlaw, they're playing it, and some stations down in Texas, KHYI, which is a wonderful station. You guys are playing it, obviously.
Yeah. when did you figure out, was there a moment that you figured out that songwriting was your thing, that you wanted to do that?
It was the first time I realized that you could.
Wow. That's
cool. My first single was, I bought with my own money, was Burgers and Fries, Cherry Pies, is a Charlie Pride single that was out when I was a kid. And I was like, Charlie Pride didn't write this? What's that? You know? and then when I got to, I started working a straight job in Murfreesboro and going to college at night. I went to MTSU 9.5 years all at night.
Wow. Wow.
I'm a junior. Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
But, it's all true. But, I don't know. Good question.
So you ended up a songwriter in Nashville, and I think you mentioned a staff writer. I mean, that's kind of the every songwriter's dream, right? Is to just get paid to write songs.
Yeah, you know, and if you can have a hit, then you can do it for a while. And you know, I had a couple. I got a lot of near misses, but I had some bullseyes too. My first hit was a song called Love You for Jack Ingram, like big hit. It was a top 10 at R&R and Billboard. But I'd had number ones before. You know, I've had 20 number ones in different kinds of music, like mostly like the Texas music chart and things like that. But none of them really pay anything. So, but when you have a radio hit and it does, the first one kind of gets you out of debt and allows you to stay in the music business. And the second one buys you a house that you can later sell to a developer to get yourself to California.
Yeah, right. That's cool. So is that still your pursuit, you mentioned building your own studio. Are you still writing songs for other folks? Or are you focused mostly on your career at this point?
I just don't have time to think about it. I just write when I can. And I'm mostly writing for me. I got to a place where, we can afford to live out here. We found a way and we really like it. And so I'm just trying to make art with my friends. And, we've got a cool little company going with Farm Rock Records, and we just got it rolling down the tracks.
So I read in the bio that you kind of had your first major label work in 94. So you kind of jumped in there early 90s. You worked through the 2000s, the early 2000s, and obviously the especially country music has changed dramatically in the last 25 years. Did you have to change your songwriting style to fit, or did it just kind of always flow as the changes happened?
You know, when you're staff writing every day or 3 or 4 days a week, you know, doing the monkey business it takes to keep up, you just write whatever's in front of you that day. Writing like I'm writing now, I usually have good hooks and good songs. Like my second single that's actually out, it's doing really well. It's getting played same stations I mentioned before, but, Honky Tonk Baby, I wrote about my son Bobby. I was trying to keep him from crying on the diaper table, and I just started singing. Yeah, he's my honky tonk baby, and it worked. And then I said, that's a song. And then
yeah.
I wrote another song about it on the EP. I was helping him put his blue jeans on, and I actually put your blue jeans on, boy. Put your blue jeans on, boy. Put your blue jeans on, boy. And then I was like, wait, change it to girl, and you've actually got a song. So
yeah.
there's one on the EP about that. But the goal the whole time was to, I met with these guys, Ed and Bill and Keith and Dave, and they all, we all agreed, we should make maybe two EPs and try to get them out and just kind of pinball the new music business. Cause I don't know anything about it. Do you?
Yeah, I wish.
They're all publishing guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're all LA and Nashville publishing guys. And, yeah. And so, you know, I've always said, and they've committed a little money to this project. It's been great. It's Schubert Music Publishing,
right.
North America
is
the company, and they're legit, bro. And got good taste, obviously. But I'll forget the question. Sorry, I kind of spaced on you there. Where were we?
I was listening to your answer, and I kind of forgot what I asked you. So,
yeah, I have a problem doing that. So.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I guess we'll just move on.
Yeah. you
were telling me about the new song, the Honky Tonk, and you were
Honky Tonk Baby.
Yeah, you were entertaining your son and changing diapers and writing songs about girls and boots, and so yeah, I think that's where we were.
That's where we were. Yeah, exactly. So the songs are just like real life stuff that's happening to me right now. It's always been that way. It's always got a wink and a smile and a grain of salt or sugar.
Yeah.
You know, I love the funny songs, you know. I go back to Uncle Dave Macon, you know, she keeps your skillet good and goozy when I'm gone. I mean, come on, that's Chuck Berry.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So you've
got a band with this new music?
Yeah, man. I found this band out here that was already together, and I just advertised on Craigslist after I'd been out here. I was living in a shack down on Rincon Beach, and my wife and I and our dog and our cat, and it's like started a band down there, and we played out a few times, and then the pandemic hit and shut everything down, of course.
Yeah.
And then the town I landed in, Carpinteria, California, they're known for avocados and cannabis. That's the two things they grow there a lot. And they have Avocado Fest, and it's the largest free music concert in California.
Hmm.
And I've played it every year. I've lived here. So this was like the third time I've played it. And it's a big deal. It's fun. It's a family affair. It's like playing a county fair. So I just did that with this band, Steel Player. Alan Flaw, he lived over in Bakersfield in the 70s and 80s. I said, who'd you play with? He looked at me. He's like, I play with everybody.
Hmm.
Yeah. And Leland Rolag's been playing telly for me. Leland played with Roger Miller for 12 years on the road.
Wow.
He was Danny Gatton's best friend.
Huh.
huh. and roommate.
Uh-huh.
He has Danny Gatton's, the guitar player, of course, his first pickups and his telly. They're kind of loud. They're a little too loud. But so he's been playing telly. And then Philip Allen Smith, who's living in Pasadena, who's a B Bender telly guy, I met in Poland on a concert tour. We were different bands. So he's been coming up and playing. So, yeah, I've got some work. I'm working on some publicity and stuff like that for the record, and taking a day at a time.
Are you hoping to get the music and the band outside of your home area? Are you looking at a tour of some sort?
You know, out in the future when things calm down, and my whole family's sick right now. We've got a virus.
Yeah, but, don't we all?
yeah. And so, you know, I'm staying close to home. The first of next year, we might put a little run together. It's got to be the right guys and for the right reasons, you know. But there's a lot of cool places to play here. You can pick up a Sunday afternoon gig, you know, make a few $100 and have fun with your friends. So
yeah,
that's kind of my speed these days.
Yeah.
Play my hits.
Are you?
I have enough hits that people almost think they know who I am.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you've got 20 hits
here and there,
you got a full show there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's a really, you know, a real small, you know, number of fans, but they're passionate. So
is your intention with this record at all to have somebody else record it, or is this really just for you? Is this your stuff?
Oh, I'd love for someone to record it. First person I sent it to was John Party.
Mm.
And we wrote a lot of songs together, and he's, you know, he's doing some good stuff. I like his earlier stuff a little better, but he just played the Santa Barbara Bowl. We went over, my wife and I, like I said, we've got two young kids, and it's the first time we got a babysitter. They treat us like rock stars over there. Mm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful theater. Jerry Garcia liked that theater a lot.
That's neat.
There's a garden. There's a Jerry Garcia garden there in Santa Barbara Bowl. But,
yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, if folks, yeah, you know, I'd love to. I don't look at it like, you know, and again, I'm not in Nashville getting cuts. You got to be in Nashville to get cuts.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to make good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the next phase of your career look like? I mean, are you in it? Are you doing what you want to do and not looking too far out? Or do you have some future thoughts on where you'd like to be with your music?
I want to finish this project, do the other 5-song EP, and then maybe, you know, talk about a physical product then, either vinyl or, you know, there's a bunch of country people out here. It's a CD buying crowd still.
Oh, like, good. You know, it's good to hear.
Yeah, no, it's funny. We have a tenant here. It's the only way you can afford to live out here, you know, if you're not uber wealthy. He's a young guy. He's 25. He's got like 3,000 CDs.
Wow.
I'm like, really?
That's good.
It was refreshing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see the CDs make the comeback like the vinyl has. You know, a new generation discovers them.
Man, the players are cheap and they're around. Yeah. You know, there'll be retro record selling places. There's a wonderful record store out here called I think it's called Wapplers. You should look it up. Tell your fans about it. It's in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Wapplers.
Okay.
Like, it's kind of like the sausage, but it's not.
Yeah. Okay.
But they sell vintage gear and records, new and old. And I think they are starting to sell some CD players. So that'd be cool. So maybe some vinyl, selected artwork.
Have you done vinyl, or is that on your agenda?
No,
with this
I haven't.
Yeah.
It's been in everybody's mind. It's just expensive. It takes forever.
I know.
You know, and then, you know, I don't know what the minimum order is. Like, I guess you could get 100, but
yeah,
then
probably.
They're sitting in your garage. They're a lot bigger than.
Yeah.
Merch is great if you're on the road playing all the time. People are buying it, but if it's stuck at home in a bin,
right?
It's
not
doing anybody any good.
Yeah, right. And trying to get internet sales with that stuff is.
Yeah, and you don't want to be down at the flea market selling your own T-shirts,
right?
Like I've done before.
Yeah, that feels kind of depressing sometimes to do stuff like that, but I get it.
Yeah. I'm teasing. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I know. So if folks want to listen to the new singles and get the new EP, it's out, right? Came last week, is that right?
The EP is coming out soon. We're still talking about that. We're the second single in. Our plan all along was to release one, work in a month, release the second one, work in a month, release the third one, work in a month, and then release the EP when we release the third one.
Okay.
But the dates have gotten changed and things like that. But soon, I think, you know, the first of next year is what it's looking like now.
Yeah.
But
right.
we've got a major label helper coming on board in a certain capacity. So we're going to take all the help we can get, and a distributor with one of the what do they call the major labels now? The big three, the big five.
Yeah.
Sony.
It's about
Mercury,
all there is left.
MCA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird time learning the music business. All anybody cares about is Spotify.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, I'll see where my 57 fans in Paris are. You know,
right.
But yeah. It's cool to know that, and I get that.
Sure, yeah. Right. You know? Well, why not?
So it's just you got to keep learning. You know, that's the thing. When the music business changed, when streaming hit, it really did change what I did, because mm-hmm. I was pretty good at the time at getting on records, and while, you know, you didn't have a single, if you sold gold, you know, you could make some pretty good money.
Right.
And streaming changed all that, and you know, but I didn't want to retool, and we got that incredible opportunity to leave Nashville, and so I don't know, I'm just retooling now, you know.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years later.
Yeah,
but it's hard to catch up. I'm not even good at it, you know. It's like I'm supposed to post this to this guy, and I'm, you know, terrible at spelling.
Well, it changes all the time, you know. There's
but I'm a writer.
There's one drifting back, and another one coming to the surface, and you know, where should you put all your social media money at, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I get it. Website.
Yeah, you know, I've really had some trusted professionals doing it for me, and it's done a good job. I posted a live video on Instagram that got over 4,000 views. It's just a guitar lead, but it's really good. You should check it out.
Yeah, I will.
Feel free to put it on the site. It's,
okay.
It's under my TikTok. It's just my name.
Okay.
I think it's got a blue dot beside it, they tell me. But, yeah.
And website? Do you have a dedicated
TrentSummerMusic.com. Yeah, TrentSummerMusic.com. It's got,
and it's SUMMAR, right?
Yeah. It's pronounced like the season, but it's spelled with an A instead of an E. And, you know, I'm available for concerts and parties and barn fires and pond drainings and barn buildings. And, you know, we play birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, you name it. You can get in touch with us on the website.
All right. We'd love to get you out here on the East Coast, man. It'd be fun to have you come up through.
Man, I'm an East Coast guy, man. You know, I'm from Tennessee.
Right. Yeah.
You know, as East Coast as you can be from being from Tennessee.
Yeah, right.
We got family in upstate New York. I love it out there. But my best friend's in Richmond, Mike D. Shout out to Mike D.
Yeah, Richmond,
and
Virginia.
His family.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good. How far is that from you guys?
We are probably 2 hours from Richmond, so not far.
It's nice. Beautiful country. I love it up there.
Yeah,
I miss East Tennessee.
Yeah, we love it.
And
we love
Western North Carolina.
Yeah,
Virginia.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. So the new EP is I Might Get Used to California and Trent Summer. And Trent Summer and the New Row Mob is the band, correct?
That's right. We were calling it the West Coast band, but Google, you know, you don't want to trick anybody at Google. And, you know, the record label guys were like, nah, you got to just keep the same name. So
that's
the only thing. And there's a few places it's printed like that, but. It, you know, it's not a big deal. You'll find it if you want to hear it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Trent. I appreciate it, man. Good talking to you, man. I love the new music, and I wish you well with it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.